interrupt your regularly scheduled Dan and Cody podcast for this little announcement.
Hi, everybody. Just wanted to give you a little update on last week's snafu with the Dan and Cody podcast, episode 187. For those of you that were able to download it, you may have noticed there was some audio issues. Well, we took it down and I fixed them. We put it up, and that's going to be this week's podcast, episode 187, where I sit down with the delightful Abe Cox. So go ahead, turn up the volume, enjoy the tunes, because get ready for the latest Dan and Cody podcast. Imagine you're in a world. No! A place. No! A room. All sound as you know it has been eliminated from the world you understand and love. You realize the only outlet you have to experience sound is through your favorite podcast. No! Not Joe Rogan. No! Not Wine and Crime. So you listen to your 23rd favorite podcast and realize you have to settle, because the only thing available is the Dan and Cody podcast, episode 187.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
This is it. Right here, Cody. You put on those headphones and you go to work.
Why are you yelling?
This is where our message is heard.
It's time to get hyped. Say it with me.
What are we saying?
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Meet Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Get some.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Oh, it's like the sound of Jesus coming through. It's time to pray, ladies and gentlemen. Dan is still gone. He's in London. He's still in London. There's the auction taking place right now, the prop store auction, which by the time you hear this, it's over, and you lost out on your chance to bid on some amazing movie memorabilia, you know, like Braveheart's sword, which William Wallace, Bill Wallace, as he's known in Ireland. Anyway, Dan's gone, and luckily I have a friend of mine that's filling in for Dan. I got Abe Cox here with me. Abe, hello.
Hello. How are you, Cody?
Oh, it's English, Abe. Yeah, I'm great, man.
Good. I am as well. Thank you for having me.
Dude, thanks for coming on the podcast. I appreciate it. I know, you know, with Dan being gone, there's a void, because Dan and I, oddly, on top of doing this podcast, we're actually friends.
Oh.
And I, you know, we bounce ideas off of each other all the time. And he like texts me, he texts me questions like, hey, how do I make a casserole? And I'm always sending him casserole recipes. And he's always saying, no, that's not right. He didn't know how to do it in the first place, but it's not right to Dan, you know?
It's one of those things where you know it when you see it, but you have no idea how to do it yourself.
Absolutely. You don't like, oh, you appreciate the goodness when it's in your mouth, but when you have to put in the work, you just don't get it, you know? Anyway, I guess that's my casserole conversation for the day. I don't know.
I've never had a casserole.
No, really? Never?
No. Is that similar to ravioli?
No, man. Like a casserole is like a combination. I mean, actually, you know what? I don't even know what a casserole is. I've had a casserole before, because a casserole is like...
Explain a casserole to me correctly.
A casserole is always like a mix of things.
A collage.
Yes, it is. Let's see. Normally, okay, so here's how Wikipedia describes a casserole. A large deep pan used both in the oven and as a serving dish. So the casserole is actually the pan. So anything you mix in there and you cook. So a quiche could be considered a casserole.
Ravioli could be made in that same pan.
It's true. This is a ravioli casserole.
Probably never was, but.
Okay, that's fair.
Wait, a casserole is the dish.
The dish is. It's called a casserole dish.
Oh my God.
So people are like, if you're baking something that's all kind of thrown together in a mash, that's a casserole. So breakfast casseroles. Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Taco casserole.
Yeah. This is your food for thought. This is the minute that you guys realized that it was, because I don't think anybody.
I had no idea.
I didn't either.
I think I'm well within my right to have asked that question.
I think you're right. And I think you're well within your right to question me in my ability of like defining what a casserole is, because I never thought about ever defining it. It's like when you see it, you know it. Nobody ever says define an automobile, because everybody knows what an automobile is.
This is true.
What's an auto?
I don't know.
I know that it's mobile. Right. It's an automobile. Automobile.
Isn't my phone an automobile? People automatically calling me.
Oh, there you go. It is. This is my automobile. Can I get your automobile number? I guess we got to go out to the back and look at the plate. I don't know what you need that for. You work for the state? Anyway, that's weird. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Well, man, it's good. You know, just so people kind of have a sense of who Abe is. I met Abe years ago when I moved to Chicago. I was doing improv at Second City. And I met Abe there. And we hit it off. Like we got each other to some degree. We liked each other's jokes. We hung out multiple times and, you know, we bonded.
Yeah. It was like, we first met at that pub where Bill Murray frequents.
Yes. It's the Bill. There's this great pub that's across the street from the Second City that is like all these weird naked people. And have you watched, there's a documentary on that place.
No,
not a documentary. I'm sorry. Anthony Bourdain did a Chicago thing. And that's where he hung out.
Oh, wow.
And he interviewed the guy that owns that bar. And so basically what he does is he goes in and he decides to, he's a painter on the side. And those are all his paintings. The guy that owns this bar.
The naked people.
Yeah, the naked people. Like there's like this picture of Hillary Clinton and then she's got this giant bush.
Yeah, she's getting eaten out by one of the
gratuitous. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna
Herman Cain. Like, yeah. Herman Cain is going down is going Hillary down. Clinton, and it's just one of the things you see, and it's normal because all the other pictures are similar.
Absolutely, they all are. It's so weird. It's like you'll go in there and you'll have a shot of Malarts, and then you'll go in and you'll see these not nude, uncomfortable people.
Yeah, it's
I guess I'm uncomfortable.
It's a little trigger. It can be triggering.
It is. I agree.
And it's a lot of times it's political.
It is. It's, for the most part, it's always political. Guy paints them downstairs in that bar.
Really?
Yeah, he's got like a whole like little art studio.
I haven't been
in
back
the steps
since Trump.
Oh, you have?
I don't know what.
Oh, I bet he's got painting all kinds of stuff. I mean, if he's even close to what Jim Carrey does of Trump, then I know it's got to be good. Right?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, that's we met there, had some good conversations, some funny when you're in that place, most of the conversations are just hilarious. This is a bunch of like comedians, absolutely, improv, stand-ups. You come in after right around 9:30, right?
At night.
It's going, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're drinking Malort, yeah, which is awful,
yeah,
but you have to have it.
It's a Chicago thing. I don't think you can really find it anywhere other than in that part of the country,
it's in
right?
Every Chicago bar.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Yeah. If you have a bar, you're required to carry it. And to be honest, I moved away and I never tried it until I went out with Andy. So for those of you that listen to the podcast religiously, the four of you, you may remember Andy from like several weeks ago, and he's been on the podcast a couple times, but we had Malorts together and he's like, you need to try it. And it tastes, no joke, like you're drinking an ashtray.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Do you know why that is?
Why it's so bad or why you have to drink it?
No. Why it tastes like an ashtray.
I have no
idea. I wonder how, is it a liquor?
It's probably really healthy for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's that booze that's like, well, it looks like we got to clean up the ashtrays in the bar tonight. And let's put it in that water. Yeah, it's just... Yeah. It's what they do with the glasses of ice that have the remaining booze. So they take those and then they take the ashtrays and it makes a nice like a jungle juice basically, but with booze.
Some entrepreneur,
not with booze, but
figured it out.
We're gonna bottle it.
You're gonna bottle and sell it.
That's a Chicago business right there. That's a Chicago business. You're not gonna find that anywhere else. Anyway. But yeah, so we met. And then you moved out to LA. How long ago has it been? 2 years?
Just hit. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
This month. Yeah.
That's right. And this is my third time seeing Abe, I think, since he moved out here. You know, it's funny. Like this kind of shows you how segmented Los Angeles is, because I live in an area called Van Nuys, which for those of you that don't live in Los Angeles, it is in the Valley. And the Valley is this area that's north of like downtown Los Angeles. And you live in Marina Del Rey? Or
yeah, like Marina Del Rey, Mar Vista.
Mar Vista, which is like south of Venice, which is on the other side of the mountain. To get here, how long did it take you to get here this morning, Abe?
Well, it took me 30 minutes because I left at the optimal time for traffic.
Right, right. Which he's coming over to my place at noon. Optimal time. If you drive anywhere between 11 and 1 on the highways in LA, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Like a normal city.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where people are driving around. You're not making mistakes like wrong left turn, wrong right turn, slamming on brakes because there was a loud noise somewhere. Right?
Absolutely. You're listening to the Dan and Cody podcast, for example, you drive. But yes, no, you're right. It is a, it's really odd, but it shows you like for us to even spend any time together, it's the true plan.
Normally it would be an hour to get here.
Absolutely.
That's how long it takes for me to fly to see my parents. So Cody is my parents away.
And you know, I'm not as important as Abe's parents. So like I get the three times, you know, it's funny. I've probably seen you more than I've been back home in the last 2 years, which disappoints my mother. I'm really sorry, Mom, but
yeah. What are you doing?
You
need to go and have her casserole.
Exactly. Mom, make sure you have one of those casseroles ready. And it's basically a tub filled with, with anything. It's like there's mittens in it. Here's your casserole.
This is some stuff from your childhood. It's right. Like, what is this in?
It's your casserole. Yeah, okay. It's in the dish. That's all that matters. Anyway.
But we all have to be okay with that. That's how it works here.
Right.
That you're just okay with it.
So, I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love LA?
I hate being asked that question.
I know, because
so
it's the worst, right?
So much. I don't mind telling you, you're not from LA. I hate it here. If you're from LA, I'd say it's pretty good.
It's the worst. My wife and I have conversations right now where it's like, how long you think we're going to be here?
Right.
Because it's like, you want to know why people fail their dream of becoming actors and movie stars and all those things. It's not because of the opportunity. It's because of traffic.
Can I go on a rant?
Yeah. Go for it.
I've been pent up about this subject.
Oh, I can see in your eyes.
LA, my problem with LA is even if you're paying $5,000 a month for a house or an apartment, it's still shitty.
Yep.
The person's house I went to are like, this is nice. They pay $36,000 a month to get nice. You know how angry that makes me?
If you're
paying $5,000 a month, I'm sorry, the streets outside shouldn't be cracked. They should not be cracked.
No, you're absolutely right.
I should
right.
never trip and fall. There should be emergency around the corner.
That's enough money to stop earthquakes.
Right.
Like $36,000 a month. That's enough money to just be like, just put money in the cracks. It'll create a cushion for the waves.
It was just okay. Remember, it was just okay. It was nice. It was nice. This is nice. For $36,000, my socks need to be blown smooth off. Ooh. I should not be able to find those socks.
Absolutely. I should literally, for $36,000 a month, I should open the door and my legs should like slowly sweep out from underneath themselves. And I should just be able to lay vertically in midair and just slide to wherever I need to go. And then arms just fill my mouth with food. Or if I need to pee, literally a hose just sucks and just takes care of the business for me.
Automatic. I should never ask.
Oh.
But instead, what you get is living in a regular, nice home. Maybe you're a little elevated and you can see some stuff. You know what I'd get in Chicago for $36,000 a month?
Yeah. I mean, United Center.
Yeah. I mean,
you're living in the United Center.
I could just pick a building and be like, I want to live there.
That's right.
I need to get the whole building. I want that building. Sure, $36,000. Done deal, sir.
Absolutely. That's crazy.
Oh, I hate it. Yeah. But I love the weather. I'm sorry. I love the weather.
Are you kidding me? You know what I fucking hate about this weather?
What?
It's that yesterday was the same as yesterday. Does that make sense? Like, I walk outside. Oh, it's the fucking sun again. Thanks, buddy. Thank you for giving me life. And honestly, I mean, what's really bad for me, I think more than anything, is just the pasty skin. I don't do well in sun. I have German blood. I should be in like the Nordic territories. I lived on the most northern side of Germany, probably. I was probably Polish. Like, that's, for me, it's about overcast rain and like, I feed off of people's misery. In LA, it's all like, I don't know if you're miserable or not.
I know. I don't know if tomorrow's not going to be okay because the sun is shining.
Absolutely.
Everything's great.
Yeah, absolutely. I got another day ahead.
We'll do it tomorrow.
Absolutely. And then you're like 7 years into it. And you're like, you know what? The traffic's killed me. Sorry, son, you've done a lot for me, but the traffic's, you know, killed all of my hope. I don't know, man. It's,
you know, it's also great. I was just telling you, Elon Musk is trying to create a tunnel to help with the traffic. You know what the locals said? Fuck that shit. We're okay with how it is. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely.
Any solution, that's the problem. Any solution that comes up, they're like, no,
no,
no, I'm okay.
And why?
Because of the sound? I don't know.
No, I think it's because here's the problem with Elon Musk going ahead and digging tunnels is it's the same problem that anything. It's going to take him. Well, first of all, are the metro system in Los Angeles, if they're to redo it and build trains that run everywhere in LA, it's going to take 40 years. We're not going to see a train that runs directly to the airport. The airport. If you're in Chicago, there's a fucking train at the airport that takes you downtown.
Both airports.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And so it is this, but we're not going to see a train that runs out there until like 2035. We're going to get one real close, but we're not going to get anything that goes in and around and takes you out. So to do that, you're going to disrupt a lot of people's lives, and they're more concerned about traffic getting worse is why they don't want tunnels under the ground. And the fact that it's like, well, you're building a tunnel. Like, where is that going? How are you doing that? I don't know.
But they act as if this technology isn't in every other major city.
No, you're right.
That the humans occupy.
Yeah, the humans. That's right. Like, just so you know, LA, they're not humans here. The humans occupy.
Like the humans are out there like, hey, you know what? We need to get around. Right. Why? There's a lot of people here. When I say a lot, I'm talking about millions, right? There's right.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Ants make tunnels. Why? There's hella ants, right? The humans are like, yo, we should do the same so we can get around.
Absolutely.
LA is like, I don't know.
I hear you, man. Yeah, it's nutty. We don't want to discourage anybody from moving.
It's a great place.
It's gorgeous.
Come on over.
The weather's really nice.
All your dreams can come true.
All your dreams can come true.
$36,000 a month.
Absolutely. That's right. And that's for nice.
It's for nice.
That's for nice.
You don't want to know what amazing is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. So, you know, we were kind of discussing us and how we met. So you have a comedy background, right?
I do.
And so, you know, you've been doing that for a number of years, and I have a bit of a comedy background to some degree, probably not like yourself, but, I've never been a fan of the stand up situation, but I've thought about playing in it again.
Really?
Yes.
How does that work that you're thinking about playing in something you're not a fan of?
I think that's good for a person.
What if they find you out?
They won't. They won't. Even if they listen to this, they're not going to find me out. I feel like if I do stand up, I think every bit, every set has to start with something along the lines of how it's always funny to see animals wearing sunglasses. And then I do a bit on that for about 15 minutes. they'll close the line. And it's like, see, you guys, it's just what's so funny is animals in sunglasses are always funny, right? Why is that?
It is.
Yeah.
It's like when you see an animal in sunglasses, you assume they can talk human.
They can. It's absolutely right. It's absolutely right.
How do you feel about animals talking human? Like in movies and cartoons, like, how do you feel about that? Are you okay with that?
Like animals talking like people?
Yeah, like
if we lived in a world like BoJack Horseman, like we actually are working, like the social structure is now animals and humans. Zootopia is a real thing.
Right.
Humans and animals, we have to get along. We can't eat each other. Right.
They've evolved. They can now speak language.
I mean, I think the dynamic of the relationship with my dog and I is very different. We could be best friends, but it's not the same, you know?
Right.
Like, hey man, have a seat. Let's have dinner. I got to ask him. Or like, here's chicken. You can't eat that.
You can't have this.
You know how your diet gets. You get runny, right? Like there's those weird elements, right?
And you don't hear his response. So you're generally okay with like keep denying him these great things.
Absolutely.
You don't hear how he feels about you by doing that.
And now you get to see.
And now you get it.
Right.
And he sits you down and talks to you and says, I think you have it out for me.
That would be weird, right?
Right.
If it was like a switch and everything just flipped around in the next day and he's there and you're responsible for him. He's like your kid. And you do have to have that like come into Jesus conversation with your dog. And he's got to be able to tell you straight, like, this is what I like. This is what I don't like. I'm not a fan of you like tugging on this towel with me. I know I pull it, but that's because I want the goddamn towel. I don't want you to have the other end. My response would be something along the lines of, then why do you bring it back to me? His response is, I'm testing to see if you understand me. Right? I don't know.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I want animals to be able to share their feelings. I feel like if they could share their feelings, me as a man, maybe I can share my feelings a little bit better.
So too. You think it actually opens up gender roles?
I think it opens up this whole other thing that
interesting.
We're missing. As a man, I feel so stifled.
You do? What, because of animals?
No, because of feelings, but I'm using animals as a conduit.
Oh, I see. Okay, nice. Very good. Very good.
To help with my relationship.
See, look, that bird is really pretty. And I think it says love. See?
See, right?
That's me speaking to you. Chirp, chirp. Chirp, chirp.
Oh, the bird's going to talk. It's going to be like, yeah, this... Abe loves you.
Abe loves you.
Abe's feeling melancholy.
And now that we know that these animals that are in our lives are so empathetic to us, they can then present our feelings to the rest of the world.
Right.
Right. Oh, wow.
That's revolutionary.
Absolutely. It's socially revolutionary. Maybe not technologically, but socially, it changes the dynamic of everything.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it would do to traffic, but I feel like we're not there yet.
Well, people can't ride horses anymore.
I know.
Right? You're giving up the animals you can ride.
We're giving, what would we give up? Oh, wow. You're right.
You give up, but
you give up the service. You give up because you have to pay.
You're going to have to, no. I would think that a man riding a horse becomes an insult to the horse. Right? And just like a man owning a dog is an insult to the dog. And really what it comes down to is you got a good 8-year commitment to the dog. And then you got to tell the dog, you got to go out there and face the world yourself.
Oh,
right? Because it's your kid to some degree, if you're raising the dog. And then what happens is you got these old dogs at shelters. Those are basically retirement homes for dogs. And then you go and you're like, I feel real bad for that old dog. They're living in a cage.
I'm going to buy the dog.
I'm going to adopt it and go through the process and then raise it until it's death. And then you have like hospice come in and the hospice, you have like a hospice bird nurse that comes in and like helps you take in and process the passing of this old dog that you've gone ahead and helped get to that next stage of life.
Yeah. And helps you process your feelings about it.
Absolutely. The feeling, the release. Feeling. Right. Wow.
I don't know.
I do. And I think it's fucking genius. I had this crazy dream the other night. And I did a weird thing on my Insta story the other day where I kind of talked about it, but I had this weird dream that I was Tom Brady, and I woke up and he's like, and I'm in the dream and Tom Brady's throwing touchdowns and throwing passes. But then there was this weird switch in the dream where Tom Brady realized that Tom Brady wasn't Tom Brady, but he was Kel Mitchell from Keenan and Kel. And so he's like, I need to talk to Keenan. The only way I can get my career back is if we do another episode of Keenan and Kel or Good Burger or something like that. We need to jumpstart my career. the clubs aren't doing it for me, but this whole time, it's Tom Brady, the quarterback for the New England Patriots.
Yes.
And he's Kel Mitchell. He's being responded. He like responds to Kel, but everybody knows him as Tom. And there's this weird dynamic. And then Keenan sees him and he's like, what are you doing, Kel? And it's weird. What do you think that means, man?
Oh, wow. Let's take that apart.
Yeah, it's not me.
Wait, so like,
the dream is me as Tom Brady, who's Kel Mitchell.
But you're aware you're you, but you're just watching this happen. You're like, are you like,
but I'm Tom Brady.
Wow.
Right.
Do you want to be
no
a football player?
Never.
But do you, I don't know.
Right. So what is this? Like, what is the internal beast? It's me telling myself, you got to choose.
Yeah.
There's a choice here. You know, you can be Kel Mitchell or you can be Tom Brady. But I don't even know what that means because I don't really like Tom Brady.
Do you like Kel Mitchell?
All I know of Kel Mitchell is Good Burger. And
that's,
you know,
pretty dated. That's pretty dated.
That's old, man. So what does that mean?
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's like a character inception.
Yeah. Maybe you have some type of internal fight of being the greatest in the world while pursuing. I don't know. I don't know. That's a hard
we
one.
We both know that's not the case.
Yeah.
Right. Not to knock me, cause it's not a knock on me. It's just that this idea that Tom Brady's the GOAT. Right. Everybody can, I'll admit that. And I don't like Tom Brady.
Not a fan.
No, I'm not.
I'm not a fan of Tom Brady.
Like, he's probably a nice guy,
but he showed up.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. He's proved everybody wrong. He's 1,000 years old and he's going.
When we were younger, we always looked at Tom Brady as the true all American. He could be a substitute teacher, a rancher.
Absolutely. A librarian.
Captain America.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's not as fit.
He's not as fit, but
yeah, but he's got,
it's believable.
Absolutely. He could walk into the Oval Office.
If he put the suit on for Halloween, you'd be like, yeah,
Captain America. Absolutely. He's all American.
He's America. He's Uncle Sam. He's Uncle Sam's son.
Yeah. He's America. Yeah.
Cousin Tom.
Yeah. Cousin Tom. Right. Absolutely. He's the neighbor next door. He's the guy you want to tell your secrets to.
Right. He's the guy you'd let marry your sister.
Absolutely. Yeah, I get it.
So maybe you're that.
Maybe I'm Tom Brady. Maybe I'm the all-American. Is that what you're saying?
Right. And you're in the wrong hat. Like Tom Brady has the football hat.
Right.
But he could wear all those other hats. And maybe you're wearing the wrong hat.
I need to wear Kel Mitchell's hat? Where does the Kel Mitchell connection come into play?
I don't know. I'm working my way to that.
It's interesting, like, there's the comedy aspect, right?
Right.
But Kel Mitchell is like, you know, he kicked off early.
Right.
Kind of fizzled out.
All that.
He was a young star. He was a child star in a lot of ways. You know, Kenan Thompson was a child star. And he kind of disappeared for a lot of years. And then he decided to transition from all that to Saturday Night Live. And then he's done that for like the last 15 years.
Right.
Which, and now he's like
greatest sketch comic of all time. Not my favorite.
No, but like you can make that. He's been doing it for his whole life.
Successfully.
And the interesting thing is there is nothing interesting about Kenan Thompson.
I know.
Other than the fact that he's like stupid likable.
Yeah.
He's like stupid likable. And Kel Mitchell, I don't know.
We don't know as much.
We don't. He's the mystery man.
Are you a mystery?
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, you pretty much see what you get. Like,
you don't come up as mysterious.
No.
You know, like
maybe I'm reserved, maybe.
Right.
Private. Stay out of my house, you know.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah.
But not like, what's going on in that home?
Exactly. There are some questions. You're absolutely right. It's funny because the Kenan and Kel combo is very much the Corey's combo. In a weird way, right? Like, I guess that's probably not fair because both Corys are fucking crazy. And Kenan seems like he's pretty well put together. And to be fair, like from what I've seen of Kel Mitchell at this point, he seems like he's put together. He's just like, I think he's in a strange way, he's like in Kenan's shadow.
Right.
But he shouldn't feel that way.
Because
he took a different path.
I don't think he wanted to go straight sketch.
No, I think, yeah, and he does stand up now. I mean, that's his thing, right? I mean, he's not Chappelle.
No, but that's not.
No, but at the same time, like, I know there's Chappelle. Right. And then it's like, what's the next level below Chappelle? Who is the next? Kevin Hart?
Or Chris Rock, maybe?
Maybe. I mean,
was.
Yeah, exactly. At one point it was Rock, Chappelle. Now it's definitely Chappelle, Rock, Kevin Hart.
Everyone else has type of sexual misconduct thing going on.
And absolutely. So, right.
So we skip.
Louis's gone. And he was pretty fucking amazing.
But he can't count him anymore.
Right. Eddie's back, apparently.
I don't know. Yeah, he's back, but there's an incredibly large amount of pressure on Eddie Murphy's next stand-up.
He's absolutely right in this idea for he spent all this time and all these years to be like, I don't know if I can come back because the expectations are too high.
Yeah, Raw's popularity, it outlived.
Right.
It just kept going.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
It never died down.
Absolutely.
It's like, oh, how do you even deal with that? Where something you did 30 years ago is relevant now.
Right.
And you could live off that. And now you want to come back. Like, I can't. It's not even that you can need to beat it.
No.
It's that you need to surpass our expectation or meet it.
Absolutely. And I think because of that, and to be honest, the legend of Eddie Murphy has grown.
Yes.
Like, let's be honest. 1999, Daddy Daycare, Eddie Murphy. Everybody's like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Nobody thought he's the greatest. We only got this Eddie Murphy's the greatest in the last 10 years. Am I wrong about that?
No.
I mean, don't get me wrong. His stand-up was like what it is, but it has been elevated to like, this is what a comic strives for.
Unachievable.
Yes.
Yeah.
And because he rose quickly, you know, he's like Icarus. He got to the sun and he melted with Daddy Daycare. Okay. Sure. Except to be honest with you, I fucking love Daddy Daycare.
The kid was so cute.
He's so damn cute. Absolutely. He's so damn cute.
But it's like as an artist, you would dream to have that fast rise.
Right.
But if I watch Eddie Murphy, yes, you want it, but then he's gone. As far as the stand-up world, gone.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
All we have is what, Raw and Delirious?
Right.
That's all we have.
And that's crazy. You know, it's funny because like Steve Martin, I read Steve Martin's book and he said the same. He did this thing. He's like, I knew when I gave up stand-up, I knew it was time. And he explained why. And he said the reason was, is he's like, I'd go up on stage. And I know it wasn't good. And I do the gag. And even before I do anything, people were rolling in their seats. And then I knew it wasn't about what I was bringing to the stage. It was who I was. And he's like, at that point, I was like, I got to step away from this. I got to stop this. And then he picked up a banjo and he never stopped. You know, bluegrass, that's the way it goes. But like Eddie Murphy, you know, and even him, I think there was an interview where he just said, and I didn't read it or hear the interview, but the headline was something along the lines of like, he looks back at his Raw days and Delirious days. And he's like, I can't believe what I said, which right there shows you that anything he's going to do on stage is going to be real toned down.
Yes. Impressions.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I was, you know, in the latest Chappelle that's on Netflix, like some of the impressions he did, he's like, he basically tells you on the screen, for those that haven't seen, he's like, if you don't fucking like what you're seeing, I didn't tell you to push on my face. Like, I didn't tell you to press play. Like, you asked to watch this. This is what you get, you know? And I'm like, he's absolutely right. Nobody's forcing anybody to watch anything. And I salute him in his approach, because he's like, I'm going to be as bold as I want to be. But at the same time, and granted, I fucking laughed really hard. And I thought this is some of the best stuff he's ever done, because he took on like the social scheme of things in a very bold way, although it was very unapologetic. And he tried to be, what's the word? He tried to be thoughtful. I mean, I could see how he offended everybody and their dog, you know?
I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Really? Okay.
As far as the, you clicked on my face.
Yeah.
That's not the world we live in anymore. All I need is a healthy social media stream feed letting me know what everything's going on.
Right.
And I'm going to get that joke regardless.
Right.
So I agree that that's what we'd like to think it is. But I think the people who are offended are like, this just showed up. Sometimes it just shows up. And here he is.
Right.
Saying the F word.
Right, right, right. Like,
now you're drawn in.
Yep.
Or everyone's talking about it, so I have to see. Right. I may not be supporting you, but now, what is it, FOMO? You can't.
Yeah.
FOMO is a fun thing to say, but that's real. Since I can actually kind of experience everything.
Absolutely.
I don't want to miss anything.
Yeah. Let me tell you where I don't feel FOMO. Okay. The fucking movie Frozen. Never seen it. Don't give a shit. Okay. Sing your songs about ice and letting go. Don't care. Never seen that shit. Fearless. Okay.
It's supposed to be a classic.
Yeah. Classic my ass. Okay. Classics Aladdin, you know, classic. And then they ruined Aladdin.
Oh my God. What? I want to be.
Sorry, Will. I don't know.
I wanted to be in that meeting so bad. Who came up with the, let's make everything real life. Wait, do you know why we did cartoons in the first place?
Mermaids aren't real.
They're going to do it though.
Absolutely.
It's going to be haunting.
It's going to be so haunting. And you know what?
Dude, the scales.
I'm more interested in seeing Little Mermaid in real live action than I was Aladdin. Aladdin was too like close to real people in a lot of ways. The only real difference was the genie. Jafar was an evil person. Jafar is way too young. How can you be that evil and be like 25? You haven't lived. Like, at least the Joker is like in his late. Well, I mean, Heath Ledger was like getting started as the Joker, right? At least the Joker now that they've got, who apparently is, you know, you go see the movie and it condones violence, which any movie in modern day Marvel movies condone violence. They're just using violence to stop other violence, right? I'm just saying they destroyed it.
So you don't think it's a classic? You don't think Frozen's a classic?
I've never seen it.
Yeah. Okay.
I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either. So I can't.
Perfect. You didn't fall down the fear of missing out train
No. It didn't appeal to me.
Yeah. Cause you're a man.
Nothing about the story. All I remember, this is all I can think of right now. When you say Frozen, the lady with the blonde hair.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's doing. And then there's a snowman. I'm assuming he came to life through this lady's magic something.
Wow.
That's what I assume. So what is he a trapped soul?
Right.
What are you now? Because now I'm older. I've seen the world. I've seen a lot of these terrible things. Yes. I've seen what a lot of things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
You can't keep. You're going to get. What's the humor? What's the humor? So I come from. I'm from Arizona.
Right.
So I don't. The whole snow thing.
You don't get it.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get how you could have this much fun.
You're a snowbird.
I'm a snowbird.
Permanent.
Right.
Right. Right. Right. Right.
Chicago was rough for me.
That's right.
So I don't see how you can make a classic movie
right.
holding up this frozen tundra.
Right. Absolutely.
But yeah, right. But I can understand, like Aladdin, I can understand a talking parrot or the little monkey or the genie's funny voice or Robin Williams.
Yeah.
I get it was Robin Williams.
Yeah.
That's why it was great.
Absolutely.
If the original genie's voice was Will Smith, it would not be a classic.
You're absolutely right.
So what about Frozen? Is it that song?
That's it.
Who's in it?
Here's
who sung the song?
Like you talking about this, it made me think like, here's what I can do at this point with you here. We can actually, because of so much stuff that's in the zeitgeist of what is Frozen, we can actually probably put together what Frozen is, having never seen the movie. You've got Let's do it. You've got blonde girl that makes snowman.
Has powers.
Use powers to make the snowman.
Right.
They don't give a reason. I'm going to assume the reason that they make the snowman is because she needs a friend.
Because
I control ice or snow or whatever.
People aren't like me.
Right, I'm different.
I'm different.
I create magical snow or whatever.
Right.
Then you've got, there is a handsome man that hangs out with a reindeer, which is basically a reindeer dog from the pictures I've seen.
Right.
Right?
It's not a regular reindeer.
Right, absolutely. And he's like, I'm going to go with a lumberjack.
It's caribou.
It's a caribou, right. He's a caribou, right. Whatever, like, let's get into the granular details of what a caribou and a deer is. There's not any, okay? They both have four legs. They have horns, right? Anyway, so then you've got, what else? What else is there that you know? There's the sister. I know there's a sister.
I have no idea what the conflict is. I have no idea. Why are we doing this? What are you going towards? What's the problem? So you have magical powers. What's the problem? You're gorgeous. You have magical powers. What's the problem? Just convince people that being different is okay. Sounds like your life's going to be fine.
Absolutely. And you have magical fucking powers. Like, how can you not convince people that they should believe everything you say? You're more powerful than them.
You're more powerful.
Use fear.
I could use fear, but I'm benevolent.
Oh.
Shouldn't you be grateful?
Absolutely. You should be grateful.
I could destroy this shit.
And I will. Unless you love me.
Unless you love me.
Oh, I got a sister. I got a sister that I didn't know I had. Doesn't have blonde hair. Or maybe she does. She's from Brave, right? She has a bow and arrow. She shoots. She's Irish. I don't know. Anyway.
Is that another movie?
I think so.
I don't know. I've never seen it.
You're right. This just shows that
all the movies maybe have some type of stream that they're connected by.
Right. Who knows?
So then what happens? So then whatever the conflict is, it happens. We'll just say the conflict is it's taking her a long time to get along with people. It's taking longer than anticipated.
Right.
And that's the conflict.
And in this movie, from what I gather,
she needs a real friend.
There's still kids.
She needs a real friend. There we go. That's the conflict.
Right.
The snowman's not good enough. She needs a real friend that she didn't create with her magic.
That's right.
And that's what we're doing.
Right. We're creating real friends.
We're creating real friends.
Okay.
Though we have the power to create fake friends that are just as good.
I mean, at that point, you're just looking for company. You're not looking for a friend. You just need somebody to sit on the couch with you while you watch television. Yeah.
Who has inflection in their voice.
Exactly.
That's all
exactly.
You need.
That's right. You're basically looking for a non-sex robot.
Right.
It's companionship. That's all it is.
It's companionship. That's what the movie's about.
It's about companionship.
Companionship is important. And you'll go crazy if you don't have it.
That's right.
Frozen, ladies and gentlemen.
What's funny is that is like LA's homeless problem in a lot of ways, yet they're all there and they're a community. The homeless are a community, but they're unwilling to work together to get out of being homeless. There's so many homeless people it's just, in a strange way, I guess it's because, you know, there's a big mix of mental illness, but at the same time, if you had that large of a population in any one city and they decided to unite, that's Hong Kong right now.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's like we're on the brink of them basically just coming into people's homes and saying, well, I live here now.
You're absolutely right. Squatting is going to be the normal thing because $36,000 buys nice.
Nice.
Right.
Of course there's homeless people.
You're absolutely right. Wow.
But Kel, Kel.
Yeah, Kel. We got to fall back onto the Kel story.
I want to resolve the Kel.
I'd love to resolve it because I don't want to have another dream about it.
I remember Kel wanting to go into movies.
What movie did Kel? Oh, he did.
Superhero. There was a superhero movie.
You're right. Mystery Men.
Mystery Men.
He did Mystery Men. Wow.
Yes. Right. Yes. So he was going to go film because I know Keenan had done Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
And I think there was something else. That camp where the fat kids go.
Heavyweights.
Heavyweights. So Keenan was in the film and Kel wasn't getting into film that young.
Right.
But then as all that, I think, wrapped.
Right.
He did get Mystery Men.
He did.
And wow. Things were looking, we were like, okay. Got a decent cast. It's got a producer.
Got some legs.
It's got something.
Wow.
It's relevant. It was before the golden age of superheroes. It was just before. So maybe he knew. Was he too early? Is that your problem? You're too early?
I don't know. I think, to be fair though, he has, this is crazy. Like, I'm looking at Kel Mitchell's Wikipedia page right now.
And he's amazing, isn't he?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say he's amazing. I would say he went on to continue to act, right? But at the same time, it's not like from a film standpoint, he did Good Burger.
He starred. It was his movie.
His movie. Him and Keenan's, right? He did Mystery Men right after Good Burger. He did The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle after that. And then he did some direct to video stuff called Kel's Videos Live. The Faces Belongs on the Tube himself in 2004. He did a couple videos. He did Clifford's Really Big Movie. He was a voice of T-Bone. He did a movie called Ganked in 2000.
Ganked.
He did a movie called Like Mike 2 Street Ball. That was a direct to video.
Yeah.
He did a movie called Honey Dripper. I don't even want to know what that's about.
Ooh, that could be many things.
Yeah. I mean, he did Battle of Los Angeles, which went straight to video. Man, to be honest, I feel kind of bad for the guy.
Why?
I feel bad. Like he's done working. He's working. He's done a lot of work, especially.
Straight to video.
What's actually helped him out is the fact that he is playing on kids that grew up in the 90s nostalgia. He's able to continue the career.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so he can kind of get new opportunities as himself. And maybe that opens some doors to get him into some roles. But I don't know. I mean, I respect the hell out of the man because you go through all kinds of like challenges getting through that and to make money and earn a living. And it's not like, I mean, maybe he's living off Good Burger royalties because honestly, that movie was dope.
It was. And it's still, people still know about it.
Yeah.
They still play it.
Yeah.
Keenan, from time to time, they do
things. Keenan and Kel, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Keenan
through Good Burger.
Yeah, they do Good Burger, right.
They do Good Burger stuff. They've been doing that for years.
Right.
So
it's funny, you know, the pendulum just swings to, I guess, I don't know if it's a, I don't know, you know, Kel's just, he's, I'm not going to say he's not as likable as Keenan, but Keenan definitely was somebody that I was much more drawn to when I watched the shows, right? Like you're just like, yeah. I like him. I just like him. I can't explain it.
I like Keenan and Kel and I like Keenan.
Right.
I don't dislike Kel.
But I really like Keenan.
I really like Keenan. Right. I don't really like Kel unless he's with Keenan.
Right.
I got to call it like I see it.
Yeah, that's it, right?
I do. I really love Kel with Keenan. Like, Kel is amazing with Keenan.
Absolutely.
But Kel by himself is not amazing. Keenan still holds up.
Right.
What is that? Is that because of his talent? Is that because of how we as an audience, how they marketed themselves?
Now, I don't think it's marketing as much as it's perception of how you take him in, how you take him in. He's got screen charisma. It's like anybody else. Like look at Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt took off like a jet into space, right? Like jets don't fly in space, but you get my analogy. He flew off up in the stratosphere. He came out of nowhere. He played really, really shitty characters before he ended up getting his big roles. And then Guardians of the Galaxy changed his life.
Yeah.
I guess you could say Parks and Rec changed his life.
Parks and Rec. That gave him
another outlet to get not
shot.
Be,
to yeah. get, you know, more opportunities.
Right.
And then he
right.
crushed.
Then he crushed, man.
Yeah.
Then he crushed. And now he's Chris Pratt. Everybody's like, oh, it's Chris Pratt.
He crushed Star-Lord. Right. And then he was, Jurassic.
Yeah. And then Jurassic Worlds. Like
he, and now he's a superhero.
Right.
He's not not a fat slob.
No.
He's a sexy hunk.
Yep. Absolutely. I'd like to see that what happened to Al Roker. Guy needs a break. You know. he just got a new hip. For those of you that don't watch the Today Show. Just got a new hip. I think he's ready to play a Marvel role.
Yeah. I think so.
Like let's give some people that you don't expect. Yeah, a shot.
Give him a shot,
you know?
But can anyone who has talent get a shot and be Chris Pratt? Or no?
No.
Can Kel be Chris Pratt?
No. He can't. He doesn't have the charisma.
He can't.
You see it, right? Like there is that essence, like you're drawn to just their approach, to how they stand there.
Is that you?
No.
No. You're Brady. You're the goat. Mm. But you feel like you're Kel.
Wow.
Is that what it is?
Wow. Maybe that's it.
It's like Get Out. Like, and, you're like stuck in.
That's right. That's right.
I did it.
You solved the problem. Oh my God. That's amazing. That's it.
You did see Get Out, right?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. No. You're absolutely right. Oh my God. Changing my life. Thanks, Abe.
Yeah. That's what I'm here for.
Well, you know, we're kind of winding down here in a lot of ways. A couple things. I late one night perusing Reddit, as I do sometimes. Reddit, you fall into this tunnel, you fall into this tube of just nonsense. And I came across this headline that said, what are the consequences for people that have sex with their stepbrothers and sisters? So Reddit threw the question out there and then people go on and they answer it. Like, yeah, my dad married this woman and then she brought her kids into the house and then I had sex with my step cousin, right? Or my stepsister. Crazy, like weird stories. Do you think the step side of things, is that playing the line there? You think that's a bad move? Should there be consequences? Because they're not your brothers and sisters.
This is true, right?
I mean, it's like there's no blood relation.
Yeah. My dad liked your mom or my mom liked your dad. They got together. They hit it off. Now we're just here because we're not over the age of 18 and we got to tag along.
Right.
Right. That's the situation.
Right. And you're fine as hell.
Right. And then they both are super attracted to one another. You're around one another all the time.
Yeah. Like that's not bad. One of the stories that I saw that was on Reddit was this guy's like, you know, I was dating this girl. I got her pregnant. We started dating. My dad was married. And then him and my mom ended up getting a divorce. And he started dating the mom of my wife. And then it's like, then all of a sudden I'm the uncle to my son.
Right.
Which is like.
So do you think that this appropriateness or inappropriateness is retroactive? Like that's retroactive. I don't think that human dynamics can, I don't think I can go marry an older woman and then all of whoever her kids or grandkids are, right? Now I've thrown them all in this situation that I didn't know.
Now you're daddy? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm daddy and grandpa. Like, can that happen, right?
Right.
What's the song? I'm my own grandpa.
Right.
Come on. If you take that song, literal, right? Yeah, you're going to have a problem with this.
Absolutely.
Wow, it's a good question.
I think the real problem in that situation, for example, is explaining to your kid that grandpa is with grandma and not grandma.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like, yeah. Dad's side. And then it's like, okay, but I learned about family structure in school. So you're supposed to be my uncle, Dad. No, son. We're in a different situation. I guess it's providing the context. Like, having that conversation with your kid must be the worst.
Second worst. First worst would be some other kid finding out and having, and then they break it to you.
Boom.
Hey, Timmy, I just found out that you're weird.
Right. Absolutely. That's absolutely right.
Yeah, man. I don't look at someone and be like, you guys are nasty, or you guys, there should be something done to you, or you should be held accountable because you got it on.
Right.
Especially if you're in that age when the hormones are going and someone's right. Woman who's a peer of, or this young woman who's a peer of yours is walking around naked now around the home.
Right.
I don't know if any of you listening were a 13, 14 year old boy, but that's a different situation.
Absolutely.
That's a whole other.
My God. There's some like mind mess, and they're your age.
And they like you back.
And it's like weird.
And one of you's never home.
Right.
Right. One of you's rebellious. So right. You never settle down into the family.
That's right.
Eating dinner.
This is what leads to the types of kids that we see in movies like Breakfast Club, like Judd, whatever his name is. And he like the reason he's that way isn't because Dad burnt cigarettes out on his arm. It's because Dad married a woman that had other kids, and he fell in love with the daughter and he couldn't have her. So he rebelled.
Yeah. His dad said, you better not touch her.
You better not. So now, and maybe in the Breakfast Club, what's her face was actually his sister. And we just didn't see that side of things.
Oh.
And that was like an internal battle, you know.
You see these? Daddy burned out cigarettes on my arm and I love you. Like, you know. Like, maybe he put the cigarettes because he saw him making advances on her.
Man, it's like.
And so he wanted him to think, when you look at her like that, I want you to associate these burns.
Absolutely. But now he associates it with his erection. What are you gonna do now, Judd Nelson? What are you gonna do now, buddy?
Were there people who were like, absolutely not? No, this is not all right. I don't want to do this.
They're, you know, it was
kill
like,
them, throw them under the jail. There needs to be some type of money paid, restitution. What were people?
I mean, it's like, you know, some people are weird about it, but for the most part. You know, I'm going to read a story here. I'm going to read a story. This is interesting. An outcome was dramatic and incredibly tragic. This is one of the top stories that they posted on here. I had a colleague once who drunkenly confessed to sleeping with her stepbrother. Eventually, it developed into a serious relationship. Her parents got to know and desperately tried to get them to break up. The colleague ended up dating her stepbro in secret. It's an open secret in the office at this point. Awkward because the stepdad was also in upper management. Anyway, her parents find out again and try to get them to break up a second time. It gets all rather public and ugly and quite embarrassing for her mom and stepdad, who are now senior figures in this industry running their company. Colleagues tell us that she's been given ultimatums from her mom, doesn't describe what they are. Suddenly she stops showing up to work and emails her resignation. She tells HR that she's moving to the US to find some peace. She must be in the UK if they say mom. colleague also texts some folks at work to tell them that she's had enough of the drama and she's moving away. So a few weeks pass and there's no news until her step bro, boyfriend, starts contacting all of her work friends. This person wasn't particularly contacted, but some of their employees were. The stepbro is desperately trying to get in touch with her. She's broken up with him via text. He wants to know if anyone's heard from her. He doesn't believe that she now lives in the U.S. and that she'd go without telling him. Everyone writes him off. Police actually make a few inquiries to everyone's surprise. It doesn't happen often because they usually DGAF. What does DGAF mean? DGAF? I don't know. It's probably some English thing. This is still a developing country after all. In the end, the cops write the stepbrother off as lovesick loon and everything settles down. Stepbrother has gone crazy, now claiming that he thinks something bad happened to her, says he's fallen out with his parents. Fast forward 2 years, no one's heard from our colleague until the cops come calling. They've arrested her mom's chauffeur on an unrelated charge and he confesses to murdering her. Even leads them to the body. He doesn't, however, reveal a motive. He must have been stalking her to think that the police until they investigate further. Our colleague never went to the U.S. Turns out the emails she sent weren't from her either. They were sent after her death. The texts, the emails, and the breakup were all from her mom. She covered her tracks and she orchestrated the murder of her own daughter, all because she wouldn't stop dating her stepbrother and was going to marry him. That, ladies and gentlemen, is this week's true crime.
Whoa.
Yep, that's right, buddy. That's our true crime for this week. That's crazy.
Whoa.
So the mom didn't want the daughter to do it, so she hired her chauffeur to kill the daughter. So crazy.
Was she that embarrassed by it? Jeez.
I mean, she must have been, huh? This was in Mumbai, and this is actually, it's called the Sheena Bora murder case. And so this is like a real thing. This happened in India. Wow. In 2012, she was killed by strangulation. That's one strong chauffeur. That's crazy, man. So, I mean, the moral of this story is don't judge people for dating their stepbrothers and sisters, right?
Yeah.
And don't hire a chauffeur to kill those that you disagree with. Don't do it. Nobody deserves death that way. Nobody.
I love the way you say chauffeur.
Chauffeur? Abe, man, buddy, I appreciate you for coming out and having a conversation with me for this week. I had a good time.
Me too.
You know, we covered a lot. If I was to, like, really quickly, I want to, like, organize our thoughts here. Because we went from who you were.
Yes.
To Los Angeles.
Yes.
And then we got into, we talked about LA and traffic for a while. Then what did we talk about? We
talked about, like, your dream.
Oh, yeah. So then we talked about me as Tom Brady as Kel Mitchell. And then we were breaking that down, which led us down this beautiful pathway to FOMO and how I've never seen Frozen. And then we ended up telling you what Frozen is without ever seeing it, which then led down our path of coming back to why am I Kel Mitchell? And it all came back to the movie Get Out.
Yeah.
And then we led that into our true crime for the week, which was brilliant because we happened to stumble upon it, which was the question of, do we judge people that are banging their cousins or their step cousins?
Step cousins.
Step. We didn't go into real family. That's not what the show is. Yeah, man. I feel pretty good about our topics.
I feel good too. I feel great.
Oh, we talked about comedy with Eddie Murphy. We talked Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle, questionable things.
Top comics.
We kind of played on that world. Anyway, thanks for coming out, man. I appreciate you taking the time. Maybe we'll get you out again. I'd love to have you on the podcast when Dan's here.
Yeah.
Because that's when the heat gets hot and the hot gets heat. Ooh, you know what I'm saying?
Ooh, I like that.
Anyway, thank you guys for listening to the Dan and Cody podcast. Dan will be back next week. I will not be here. I don't know who his guest is. I don't know if he's by himself. I'm going to be in Kansas City where I'm going to be enjoying the rain with no fucking sun. So you guys have a good week. Believe in yourselves. Howdy.
Thanks for listening and laughing with the Dan and Cody podcast. Our email is danandcodypodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are on Instagram @DanCodyPodcast. Check out our website, danandcody.com, and you can contribute to the podcast by going to patreon.com/DanCodyPodcast.
Subscribe, bitch!
Hey, everybody, play the tough guy and shoot, all right?